Okay, today's daf is Chulin Daf Pei Test. Today's shiur is sponsored by Yossi Mozak to commemorate the yard site of his grandfather, Meir Ben Yosef, and Hashem Shav and Aliyah. And we thank Yossi very much for the sponsorship. And once again, anyone who'd like to sponsor the Daf Yomi, it's $54. Daf sponsor at bknw.org is the email address. And we appreciate all the sponsorships very much. It will help us build our new building where we can have all of these shiurim. So let's begin. We are holding on Daf Peches and Beis. We are at about 5 lines from the end of the page on Peches and Beis, and we're first going to discuss 4 different mitzvos that apparently we were zocha to because of the... Someone just probably got confused in the back. That's usually what happens. That there are 4 different mitzvos that we're zocha to. Yeah, because of the 4 different mitzvahs are zocher to because of something that Avraham Avinu had said. That when Avraham Avinu says something, we're zocher to different mitzvahs. Then we're going to contrast how Jews react to power, to being raised up with humility, versus how many others in history reacted in the opposite way, that they reacted with gaiva. And we're going to talk a lot about humility, and a lot about the importance of anivus. And then we're going to talk about using the ashes of anir nidachas in order to do kisei adam, which leads us directly into a discussion of mitzvos lav lehadnus nitnu, whether that's a violation of an isra na'a to use the ashes of nir nidachas for a mitzvah like kisei adam. And that will conclude the parak of kisei adam. And then on Amud Beis we will begin parak gid anasha. And the Mishnah is going to talk about where and when gid anasha applies, some of the basics, about the mitzvah of gid anasha. And the Gemara is going to have 3 different explanations of what the chiddush of the Mishnah is when the Mishnah says that gid anasha applies b'mukdashin. Of course it applies b'mukdashin. What? Just because you're makdish an animal, all of a sudden the gid anasha becomes mutter? It's a double pashut. So the Gemara is going to have 3 different explanations of where that might come from, or what the chiddush might in fact be. So let's begin 5 lines from the bottom page. Peches Amud Beis. Amar Rava. Bischar Shamar Avram Avinu Vanochi Afar Ve'efer Zachu Banav L'shtei Mitzvos. Efer Parav Va'afar Sota. Because Avram Avinu said Anochi Afar Ve'efer, we are zochet to 2 mitzvos, the Efer Parah Aduma and the Afar of the Sota. Says the Gemara, but if you're looking for mitzvos and involve Afar, V'lichshav Nami Afar Kisei Adam, why don't you mention the Afar of Kisei Adam? That's also a mitzvah that involves Afar. Says the Gemara, no. Hasam Hechsher Mitzvah Ika Hana'a Leka. That there's a big difference, as Rashi explains. Hana'a Leka B'mitzvah Zu D'Belav Kisei Nami Avam Mishtari Basar. That without the mitzvah of Kisei Adam, meat is mutter anyway. You're allowed to eat the basar without the mitzvah of Kisei Adam. Avul Be'efer Para Ika Hana'a. There's some practical benefit to the Efer Para, Shemitaro Mitumaso, because until you have the Efer Para, you remain Tame. Dilav Efer Ein Lo Taro Lamas. You're stuck with Tumas Mace if you don't have Efer Para Aduma. Afar Sota, Matil Shalvin Ishlishtov, Nixvin Ishwazera. And certainly Afar Sota has plenty of practical benefits. It creates Shalvin Ishlishtov. It enables a couple to have children as well. So Afar Sota has a practical benefit, but Afar Kisei Adam doesn't have a practical benefit. And because of that, because the meat would be mutter anyway, even without the kisei adam, that's why it doesn't get counted as something we're zocha to on account of Avraham Avinu. So the Acharon point out, it seems very clear from Rashi, that when Rashi says that without the kisei, the basar is mutter, the Archos Chaim points out in Din Kisei Adam, that you see that if someone shechts and violates the halacha and doesn't do a kisei, he's still allowed to eat the meat. Otherwise, there would be ana in mitzvah of kisei adam. That's what the Divrei Chamudos writes as well. However, the Knesset HaGedola disagrees. He says, you can't prove this from Rashi. Because a behema, you're not chayv to do kisei hadam, and you're allowed to eat without kisui. So it could be that even though now that we do have a mitzvah of kisui hadam b'chayv ha'of, it's usher to eat without kisui. But since without the tzivoy, it would have been mutter to eat anyway, so it turns out we don't get hana'a from the fact that there is a mitzvah. Because lulei the mitzvah, it would have been just like a behema, that it's mutter to eat without kisui adam. But in a chinami, now that we have a mitzvah, you can't eat without kisui adam. But that's the Gemara's whole point, is that the mitzvah didn't provide us with any hana'a, because had the mitzvah not been here, we still would have had the same hana'a of being able to eat the meat, because then a chaya just would have been the same as a behema, as opposed to Efer Parah. Efer Parah is the way to be metayer from Tumas Meis, but Tumas Meis exists without Efer Parah. Also, Afar Sota is a way to vindicate the woman, but the woman is suspected without the Afar Sota. That's what Tosfos writes in Masechta Sota, that people have to be very careful, bizmanenu, not to be mekane their wives, not to say, I don't want you hanging out with that guy, because it may halachically qualify as a kinoi, and he'll ask for his wife, and there's no Afar Sota, and there's no way to ever be matir her. So that's how some of the Achronim try to suggest. Okay, says the Gemara further. So that's not the only thing Avram Avinu said that earned us some mitzvos. V'amar Rava b'schar shomer Avram Avinu imichut v'atzruchnal, because Avram Avinu said imichut v'atzruchnal zochu banav l'shtei mitzvos. We were zochu to two mitzvos, l'chut shel tcheles uritzur shel tefillin, specifically to the tcheles and to tefillin. So Rashi says that Avram Avinu says imichut v'atzruchnal because he didn't want to be nene mina gezel. So that's what the Lev Aryeh, one of the Achronim, asks. Why is it that being avoiding hana'a from gezel earns us specifically these two mitzvos, chut shel tcheles and ritzur shel tefillin? And he says that you find very interesting that by these two mitzvos, it's possible to be a gazlan using these two mitzvos. It's possible to trick people through these two mitzvos. By tcheles, we find that there's a deep concern that what you're buying is not the genuine article, but you're actually buying kala ilan. Apparently, there was a whole cottage industry of false tcheles, of kala ilan. That's Gemara in Bamitzia. And by tefillin also, we find the Gemara in Shabbos, Taf Memtes, tells us that there were people that used to put on tefillin so that they'd be muchsuk as ksherim, as anashim ne'amanim. They'd wear tefillin all day so that people would do business with them, would lend them money, would give them on credit, because they said, oh, they must be such religious people that they wear tefillin all day. So if a person is mekayim these two mitzvahs, kitikunam, and not because he's trying to fool anybody, so scharo kafel, then he's going to get double schar, he's going to get extra schar for the guf ha-mitzvah, and for the fact that he, even though it presents an opportunity to engage in gezel, that he avoided that opportunity. So in the schar that Avram Avinu avoided gezel, we are zocha to these mitzvahs, and we're mekabel schar also for avoiding gezel through these two mitzvahs. That's how the Lev Aryeh explains. Says Mar Bishlam Ritzur Shel Tefillin Ksiv V'ro Kalam Yardz Kishem Hashem Nikra Lecha. I understand what the great schar of Ritzur Shel Tefillin is, that the pasuk says that all the Amayards are going to see that Shem Hashem Nikra Lecha, that we're called by the Shem Hashem V'tanya. The Brisa tells us Rabbi Lozar Gadol Omer Elu Tefillin Shabarosh, that that's a reference to the Tefillin Shabarosh. El Chut Shel Tcheles Mahi. What practical benefit are we afforded by the Chut Shel Tcheles? So the Tanya, sure, we have a practical benefit as explained in the Brisa. Of all the colors, why is it that tcheles is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to put on our tzitzis? Because tcheles is a color that's similar to the color of the sea. V'yam domel rakia, and that in turn is similar to the color of the rakia. V'rakia domel even sapir, and the rakia is similar to the sapir stone. V'even sapir domel kisei kavod, and the even sapir is domel to the kisei kavod. V'yaru es elokei yisol v'tachas rak. And the pasuk goes on to say, "Vayiru as elgei yisrael v'tachas raglav kemasi livnas hasapir uketsam hashemayim latohar." So you have the even sapir uksiv kemara even sapir dumus kisei, and we know that the dumus kisei is kemara even sapir. So that's the great benefit, the great practical benefit of tzitzis. Pash pshat in the Gemara, the great practical benefit is that it's good for us. It's good for us to always remember the mitzvah Hashem, to always remember the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu through looking at the tcheles. However, Rashi highlights a different thing. After Rashi gives us a number of details about the tcheles, that the chilazon comes up once every 70 years, and its dam looks like the yam, and which in turn looks like the rikia v'chulei, Rashi writes, Uksha kodesh baruch hu mistakel b'kisei hakavod shelo nizkar b'mitzvah zu shekeneged kol ha-mitzvos. That it serves the added benefit that when a kodesh baruch looks at the kisei hakavod, which whatever that means, that Hashem is at the Kisei HaKavod all the time, there's a constant reminder of how Klal Yisrael is doing all of the mitzvahs Hashem, that Klal Yisrael is doing Taryag mitzvahs, because Tzitzis represents all Taryag mitzvahs. So that's the practical benefit, that when we have constant reminder to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about our dedication to mitzvahs, that obviously is going to bode well for us. Amar Rabbi Abba, Kasha Gezel Anechel, Shafil Tzadik and Gemurim Enyu Chal Nachziro. When Gezel gets consumed, even Tzadik and Gemurim are going to have a hard time doing tshuva for that. Rashi points out, Anechel, HaGozel V'Ochel, Kashu Lasos Tshuva. If someone has Gozel V'Ochel, they've already used up that which they stole, it's much harder to do tshuva because then they feel like they're giving up of their own stuff. When you steal something and you still have it, so to return it, okay, that's one madrega. But if you've already used it, now you're going to have to reproduce it or pay for it or come up with your own money for it, that's already much harder to do tshuva, and even tzaddikim gemurim are not have a difficult time being machzir. That's an interesting lashon that the Gemara has. Tzaddikim gemurim, what do you mean? Tzaddikim gemurim should never be in that position, that they should have to be returning gezel anechal. I didn't have a chance to look around to see if anyone talks about it. Someone must talk about that. How tzaddikim gemurim would ever have gezel us? I just see here the quotes of the Marsha in the Masechta. They quote the Marsha that it certainly isn't gezel mamish, because otherwise, how could because otherwise, eich nasal na nashim sheito mimasvein va'ochar melech sedom machal. No, this is going back on Avram Avinu when the Gemara is raya. Okay, but gezel anechal even tzaddikim gemurim. So we'll see from the Gemara's example. Shneamar biladai rak asher achlu anarim. That Avram Avinu says biladai that which the only that which the na'arim ate v'chelik hanashim sharholchu iti. The pasuk says and Rosh Chol Mamre heim yuchu chelkam. Only they are going to get their portion. So it's about those who accompany the tzaddikim gemurim that are involved in the gezel. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Kol makom shata motzi dvar v'shal Rabbi Elazar b'noshal Rabbi Yossi Aglili b'hagada asei oznecha kapar koses. That any time you hear the opinion of Rabbi Elazar b'noshal Rabbi Yossi Aglili in an agada context, you should make your ears like an apar koses. What exactly is an apar koses? Rashi is not particularly helpful over here. He says tarmuya. So the Eitz Yosef says that this is a kli that they would put over the mill, that where they would put the grain in before it would get ground in the mill, and it sort of like controlled the amount of grain that fell into the mill, so that if it's too much at one time, it wouldn't work properly. So it's sort of because the whole mill was shaking, this kli was shaking, so much of the grain was rattling around, and only a little bit was falling in at a time. So you should make your ear like an apar kases. So in what way is that? So first of all, obviously the message is that it's the makabel, that it's what enables one to internalize, just like the mill. The point is to get the grain into the mill. The point is to internalize the Torah. But you need a clay kibble in order to internalize the Torah. So the ear is the clay kibble. But there's probably some meaning as well, the Eitz Yosef points out, in the fact that it happens slowly. That a person needs time to digest. A person needs time to think about it and to make the Torah a part of him. So in that sense, it should be like an apokasis, where it shouldn't be more than a person is able to handle at one time. Lo mirubcha mikolam uchashka Hashem v'chem. Hashem is not interested in us because we are rubchem mikola amim, which simple pshat means that we are more in number, but over here it means that we make ourselves greater. It's not because of our gaiva, because of our pride. Hashem says, you know why I'm interested in you? Even when I try to give you power, I try to give you honor, you only minimize yourselves in front of me. Nasati gedula Avram, Amar l'fanai v'anochi ofer ve'efer. I give Avram avinu gedula, and what does he say? He says, anochi ofer ve'efer. Again, minimizes himself, humility. L'moshe v'aron amar v'nachnu ma. I give gedula to Moshe and Aaron, and they say, not even off of it. They just say Nachnuma. LeDavid Amar Vanochi Talas Vloish. And David says, "I'm like a worm. I'm not even a person." The Iyun Yaakov points out very beautifully. It's David. These four figures in history that we're highlighting over here. There were many, many people who had a tremendous sense of humility and were very great people in Klal Yisrael. But it's these four figures because we find that there are four ksarim, there are four forms of gedula, four crowns. There's the keser tzara, the keser kuna, the keser malchus, and the keser shem tov, the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos. Avram Avinu had the keser shem tov, Gad l'shemecha, that's the keser shem tov. And nevertheless, when he got that gedula, he was mashpil atzmo. Moshe had the keser tzara, Aaron had the keser kuna, and David, of course, the keser malchus. So tzedafka, that's the gedula that we're referring to. They had all of the important ksarim, and still they were mimayit themselves. I've loved it, but History tells us that when power is given to Avdei Chachamim, they react very differently. Nasati Gedul Nimrod Amar, Hava Nivna Lanu Ir. Nimrod had got some power, and all of a sudden he's trying to build a city and a tower. Leparo Amar, Mi Hashem. Paro says, I don't know who Hashem is. Lesancheriv Amar, Mi Bechol Elohei Aratzos. Lemuchanetza Amar, El Al B'Masei Av. Lechirim El Tzor Amar, Moshe V'lechim Yishavti B'Lev Yamin. So all of them just deny God, and they feel the sense of Kochi V'Otzim Yadi whenever they're given any sense of great power. Amar Rav Avitem Rabbi Yochanan, Godol Shenem Rabbi Moshe V'Aron, Yoser Mima Shenem Rabbi Avram. The humility of Moshe and Aaron exceeds that of the humility that's expressed by Avram. Dil Bavram Ksiv Anochi Afar Ve'Efer. How we highlight Avram Avinu's humility is by saying Anofi Anochi Afar Ve'Efer. Vil B'Moshe V'Aron Ksiv V'Nachnuma. But by Moshe and Aaron it says not even that, not even Afar Ve'Efer, just V'Nachnuma. What are we? We're nothing. V'Amar Rav Avitem Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Olam Eskayim El B'Shul Moshe V'Aron. The world only continues to exist because of Moshe V'Aron. Ksifach V'Nachnuma Uksifasam Tola Eretz Al Belima. Belima, the ones who say that they are not even Ma, that Nachnu Ma, what are we? So that's and it's Tola Eretz, the whole world hangs on them. So you see that the world is Miskayim because of Moshe and Aaron. The Tiferes Yaakov explains that the world stands Al Shlosh Dvarim, the Mishnah tells in Pirkei Avos, Al Din, Al Emes, Val Shalom. And all three of these things we find by Moshe and Aaron. Aaron was Oiv Shalom, Verodiv Shalom, and Torah Emes, Isa Bepiyu, Vavlo no Nimtza Besvasav, so it was all about Emes. Moshe was Yoshe Vidonis Ha'am, so between the two of them, they had all three on the highest Madrega. And that's B'Tola Eretz Al Blima, that even though Yetziras Ha'olam was through three things that are Tali B'Maisa, Torah Avodim Mils Chasadim, but once the world is already created, the kium of the world is it continues because of refraining from Avel Machlokas and Sheker. So even though it's not something mechudash, but it's just refraining from those bad midos. That the olam is omid al din emes and shalom. That's on refraining from failure in those areas. That's Tola Eretz al blima. That the kima olam is al blima on the heeder hara, on refraining from that which is bad. And that's Moshe and Aaron. Nachnu ma, that they were amudim of din emes and shalom, and that they keep the world going. Amar Rabbi La, Ein Olam Eskayim El Bishvil Mi Shebolei Mesatzma B'Shas Meriva. Someone who is Bolei Mesatzma. What does that mean? Says Rashi, Soger Spiv. Someone who closes his mouth when there's an argument going on. As Rashi says, V'Domel Lo B'Becharos Piv Bolum V'Raglav Mivulamos. We're going to see in the next Mesatzma B'Becharos that's the word Bolei means that, the closing of something. Shnevar Tola Eretz Al Belima, that it keeps the world going. Someone argues with you, someone picks a fight, that you don't say anything, you don't respond. Rabbi Avo, instead of escalating it by fighting back. Rabbi Avo, Amar Misha Mesa Matzmo Kamisha Eino, that someone who puts himself like he's the nobody. Shnamar Umitachas Ro'os Olam. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Maidichsiv, Ho'umnam Eilem Tzedek Tidaberun Mesharim Tishpitu Bnei Adam. What's the pasuk mean when it says, Ho'umnam Eilem Tzedek Tidaberun Mesharim Tishpitu Bnei Adam? Ma Umnasu Shaladam Ol Mazeh? Yasim atzmo ki ilim. What's a person's job in this world? Make yourself like a mute, like you cannot speak. Meaning, when someone's arguing with you, don't be a person who's always trying to talk back. Yochalaf ledivrei Torah. You might think that when it comes to divrei Torah, the same is true. Tavolomar tzedek tedaberun. That's why the pasuk says tzedek tedaberun. When it comes to divrei tzedek, then a person should be very talkative. A person should be very proactive. Sometimes you see people that they're very shy when you talk to them, but as soon as they get up to give a shiur, all of a sudden they have this big personality and they start expressing themselves. That's a kiyum of this gemara, that a person should be somewhat quiet, but then when it comes time to sharing Torah, so then tzedek tedaberun, they should share divrei Torah. Yochel yogis daito, so you might think that that's going to lead to gaiva and that's natural. Tam lomar mesharm tishpetu b'nei adam. That mesharm tishpetu b'nei adam is like the mishar eretz, which is trampled on. Like the lowest thing on the ground. That's what a person is like when he's dover tzedek. Amar b'zi revitei merabba bar yomir mechasin ba'afer irin dachas. Now back to the halachas of kisei adam. So a new halacha of kisei adam that you could use the afer irin dachas to do kisei adam. Rashi explains. Kasalka Daitach Efer Srefasa. The assumption right now in the Gemara is that we're not talking about the dirt of the ground, but we're talking about the ashes that are left over after you burn all of the possessions of the Aryan Dachas. When you burn the whole city down, so now you have ashes. So that's what we assume is happening over there. The Gemara is saying that you're allowed to use those ashes for the mitzvah of Kisei Adam. Ask the Gemara of Amai, Yisurei Anahu, why are you allowed to use that for Kisei Adam? It's Yisurei Anahu, Amar Ziri, La Mitzvah, Ela, La Afar, Afara. No, we don't mean the ashes. We actually mean the dirt over here. Even though Afar is called Afar, over here we mean the Afar, Afar, the actual dirt of the ground. Pasuk says they should gather all of the possessions of the city into the town square and burn it all down. Yeah, what becomes us, or what do they have to burn down? What? That's only that which only requires gathering and burning. But they certainly aren't digging up all the dirt of the Eri Dachas. Yatazesh Mechusar Tlisha Kvitzu Sreifa. That would have been an extra step in the process to uproot it first, and then gather it, and then burn it. Verava Amar, Rava says, Mitzvoslav Leanos Nitnu. There's nothing wrong with using even the Efer of the Erni Dachas, even though it's Asr Ba'anah, because Mitzvah Slav Lehanos Nitnu. That is not considered a Hana'ah. So even Rashi writes over here, Afilu Ba'afar Afara, but on the side, the Shidduch Metzis changes it, because that doesn't make any sense. Afilu Ba'afar Srefasa is what it means to say. Even the ashes of the Erni Dachas, Nami Mutar, Shekisi Adam Mitzvah V'lo Hana'ah, Rashi explains, because Kisi Adam is a Mitzvah, that's not called getting Hana'ah. Why, says Rashi, She Mitzvah Shenasin Li Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give us the mitzvahs so that we can enjoy the mitzvahs. He gave us the mitzvahs because that's the Gezeres Melech. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. That there is this ideal of being motivated not by the joy in doing the mitzvahs, but being motivated because simply it's the Ratzon Hashem. You have the Gemara tells us that a person's Meshav Aveda Lenachri is that it's a bad thing to be Meshav Aveda Lenachri. So why? So Rashi over there explains. Because then it shows that he just enjoys being Meshav Aveda. It feels good to be Meshav Aveda. But a person is supposed to do a mitzvah because it's Gzeras Melech. And there is no mitzvah being Meshav Aveda La'akum. The mitzvah is only to Yisrael. As far as practically what one should do, so almost always the poskim say, yeah, be Meshav the Aveda. You'll make a Kiddush Hashem and it's good and you'll train yourself and all sorts of good things. Yasav Ravina V'kamer L'Hashmaita. That's what the famous comment of the Ber Agola. The Ber Agola says that he's seen a lot of people get rich by ta'us akum and all these things that are technically mutter but somewhat dishonest, and they all lose their money. The money never lasts. That a person is going to earn his money with great integrity and with honesty, that's going to be the greatest skula that it should last. So whatever's technically mutter is not necessarily what we aim for as far as ethical behavior. Yes, Ravina v'kamer l'la shmaita. So Ravina was saying over this teaching that we're talking about now, Esvi Rav Ruchumi about the offering dachas, say how can you say that you're allowed to use the ashes of the Irani Dachas to do the mitzvah of Kisei Adam? Because the mitzvah is lovely, honest, it new. Don't we know that a shofar of Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to be tokeya with it? And doesn't that mean that you're not even yotzei if you are tokeya with it? Even though apparently mitzvah is lovely, honest, it new, but apparently that's a violation of the anah to use the shofar of Ovid Chavim. So it says, Merlo, im takayatza. No, you're mistaken. If you use it, you are in fact yotze the mitzvah. We don't think it's a good idea to blow shofar with avodah zarah, because come on, that's what you're going to use for the mitzvah Hashem. It's just ma'us. It's a little bit disgusting. But as far as technically, is it a violation of the Yisra? No, it's not a technical violation of the Yisra. No, because mitzvah slav le'anos nitnu. Lulav shalvav chavim lo yital. My lavim nata lo yatza. But wait, by a lulav avodah zarah, it says you're also not allowed to take. Doesn't that mean that you're not even yotze because it's a violation of anah? Lo, im natal yatza, you are yotzei. It's just not right. How can you tell me you're yotzei both by shofar shel avodah zarah and lulav shel avodah zarah? Vatanya, we have another brayso that tells us taka lo yatza, natal lo yatza, beferish that you're not yotzei. Sam ravashi yachi ashta. No, you can't compare shofar and lulav to afar irani dachas, to afer irani dachas. Why? Hasam shiura biinan vavodzchav kitusa mechtas shiura hacha kolmad mechtas malal kisoy. See, over there is a requirement of a shear by a shofar and by lulav. There is a certain size that has to be. The lulav has to be 3 tefachim plus 1 kedei l'naneh bo, so 4 tefachim tall. The shofar needs to be the size of your hand plus a little bit sticking out on each side. So there is a shear to the size of the shofar and the lulav, and we assume that which is omei lishof is kesar of dami kitus emechta shiure, and therefore we view it as if it's already chopped up into 1,000,000 pieces. And what about efer of an irin dachas? Good, chop it up into 1,000,000 pieces. That's good for the mitzvah that you're supposed to use something that's very finely ground in order to do kisui adam. So it's a technical element over there that it's, since it's finely ground up, or it's viewed as if it's finely ground for shofar and for lulav, it won't be good. But dafka beirin dachas, it will be good for that very reason. Now there's a major kasha that all of the rishonim deal with, and that is that in our Gemara it sounds like shofar and lulav shel avodah zarah are actually pasul because kitusei mechtas shiurei. It's only for kisui adam that it's kasher, because that's even better when it's kitusei mechtas. So Tosfos points out that in Maseches Rosh Hashanah daf chav ches it says that if you're talking about shofar shel avodah zarah, yotza, that you yotze when you're talking about shofar shel avodah zarah. Yevamos kuf gimel choletzas besandu shel avodah zarah kosher, and we don't say kitusei mechtas shiurei. Tosfos points out that the Gemara in Sukkah asks a similar question, Lamed Aleph and Beis, where the Mishnah over there says that luv shel asher is pasul, that Rava says luv shel avodah zarah is kosher, and the Gemara over there answers that the Mishnah is talking about an asher de Moshe. And with that, says Tosfos, maybe we could answer Tosfos kasha as well, because in our sugya we're talking about asher de Moshe, and that's what's pasul for lulav and for shofar. And Rosh Hashanah, and Yivam shel shofar shel avodah zarah is kosher, nal shel avodah zarah is kosher for chalitza. It's talking about it's not an asher de Moshe, and that's why it's not going to be puzzle. You're going to be yotzei the mitzvah. Now, what exactly that means, asherah de Moshe, in what way asherah de Moshe is different than every other asherah? There are like 5 or 6 different shittos in Rishonim. So that's a much much bigger discussion, but not for right now. But there is some sort of chiluk between different types of asherah, different types of avodah zarah. What is an important discussion? There is a, I mean, that's an important discussion also. But what we also have over here is in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Meaning, our Gemara makes it clear that the mitzvah slav le'anos nitnu, it's not called hana'a when you're mekayim a mitzvah. In Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Rava says, Chav Ches Amin Alef Rosh Hashanah, Hamudra hana'a mishofar, mutu litko bo tkiya shel mitzvah. Because mitzvah slav le'anos nitnu, you're allowed to blow shofar with something that's asur b'hana'a to you. And that's not called hana'a from the shofar. And that's all it says in the Gemara, which makes perfect sense according to what we're saying over here. Problem is, the Rif has a different gears over there. The Rif writes, mutar litkoa lo tkiya shel mitzvah. Someone can use it to blow for you a tkiya shel mitzvah. Meaning, if you're not allowed to get hana'a from that shofar, you may not blow that shofar tkiya shel mitzvah, but you can hear tkiya shel mitzvah from a shofar that you're modera hana'a from. And that's the Kolbo's girsa as well. And they explain, the explanation is, that when you blow shofar, there is a certain pride in blowing shofar. There's a certain hana'a in doing it right. I know I once did it wrong, and it was very unprideful. So I would imagine that when you do it right, that you feel very proud that you're actually doing a good job when you're blowing the shofar. So that itself is considered a hana'a that a person has. So Prichadosh asks on the Kolbo that l'chora it's against the Gemara, because the Gemara says shofar shel avodah zarah l'chadchili you shouldn't be tokeh because it's ma'us l'gavoh, but b'diavad you yotzei yuchiv even though it's asur b'hana'a because mitzvos lav lehanas nitnu, and that's not considered a hana'a. Now shofar shel avodah zarah, who's blowing it? Someone who it's mutter? Meaning, what was the Rif saying? That a guy who's allowed to get hana'a from the shofar could blow the shofar for someone who's not allowed to get hana'a from the shofar. That works great if I'm a mudar hana'a from the shofar, that I'm the only idiot that decided to be mudar hana'a from the shofar, but everyone else is allowed to get hana'a from the shofar. But what about by shofar shel avodah zarah? The whole world is asur b'hana'a on the shofar. And yet the Gemara still says you could be yotzei the mitzvah by a shofar shel avodah zarah. So it sounds like even though it's asur b'hana'a to everybody, someone someone, a Jew is blowing it, right? Someone is allowed to do it. So that's the raya that they bring against the Shita Sarif and against the Kolbo. Now, of course, you cannot mention the Inyan of Mitzvah Slav Lehanos Nitnu without at least making mention of the famous Egle Tal. Shulchan Aruch writes that if a person asers his sefer on someone else, it's asr for the ne'esar to learn from that sefer. Meaning, if I say that you're not allowed to get anah from the sefer, it means that you're not allowed to learn from it. The Taz quotes that there are those that ask, based on the halach that a mudra anah me shofar, you're allowed to be tokeh atkiya shel mitzvah, because mitzvah slav le'anus nitnu. So why is Talmud Torah any different? That if I'm allowed to blow a shofar, that's asr b'anah to me. Why? Because it's only a mitzvah, and a mitzvah slav le'anus nitnu. Why can't I learn from a sefer that's asr b'anah to me? Because the mitzvah slav le'anus nitnu. So says the Taz, that Torah is misamachas leiv. That's its very nature. And therefore, there's a halacha, you're not allowed to learn Torah when you're in Avel. Someone just texted me this morning whether they should learn Mishnayos after Shachris also at a base Avel. Is that the minhag? I don't think so. I think the minhag is only between Mincha and Maariv, and I think even that minhag, Post can point out, is a very difficult minhag to understand, because there's an Isra of Talmud Torah for an Avel, so the Avel shouldn't be learning, and there's an Isra of Talmud Torah base Avel. Okay, so we have a minhag, we follow the minhag, but we certainly shouldn't start a kailil in a base Avel. We have to be careful not to add to that. So, because that's the nature of Torah, that it brings about an atmosphere of simcha. So says the Taz, that makes Torah fundamentally different than every other mitzvah. Every other mitzvah is lav lehanos nitnu. Torah's dafka, that's part of the kiyum mitzvah, is that it's lehanos nitnu. And that's what the Egel Tal writes in his Haktama, that the simcha nahana'a that one gets from limra Torah is a chelek michelkei mitzvah. It's part of the ikr mitzvah of Talmud Torah, to be sas v'sameach u'misanig b'limudo, because the point of limra Torah is that the Torah should become a part of us. And it's only through simcha that something becomes a part of us. That's what the Zohar writes, that both the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov are strengthened and thrive on simcha. The Yetzer Tov through simcha shel Torah, and the Yetzer Hara through other forms of simcha. But that's what feeds the Yetzer that a person has. So based on that, the Egel Tal explains the Rambam in the 10th paragraph of Hilchos Teshuvah, where the Rambam writes, "Lo miyasek adam et Torah, afilu shelo shema, shemitok shelo shema bal lishma." Even though the Gemara says, "Lo miyasek adam et Torah ube mitzvos afilu shelo lishma." Why does the Rambam leave out mitzvos? So he says it's an inyan of kavana, that really we pass in mitzvos trichas kavana. So if you're doing mitzvah shelo lishma, then you're in fact not doing the mitzvah at all, because that's like a mitzvah shelo b'kavana. But dafka by Torah shelo lishma, that is a kiyum. That's a kiyum of Talmud Torah, because it's going to be mevi lidei lishma, that a person is supposed to enjoy it, even though it's not only for the sake of the mitzvah itself that he's doing it for the hanah, for the enjoyment that he gets from it as well. Okay, Hadron Lach Kisei Adam, now we begin Perek Giranasha. Giranasha Noeg Ba'aretz Ubechutz La'aretz. Giranasha is Noeg everywhere. Bifnei Abayis V'shelo Bifnei Abayis, both when we have a Beis Mikdash and when we don't. B'chulun U'b'mukdashin, and it's Noeg both on chulin animals and hadash animals. V'nog b'behema b'chaya, giranasha, unlike kisei adam, applies to a behema and to a chaya, b'yarech shel yamin u'b'yarech shel smol, both on the right side of the body and the left side of the body. V'eino noig ba'of m'pnei she'en lo kaf. The oaf simply doesn't have the anatomy of a giranasha, and therefore it's not noig by an oaf. V'noeg b'shlil, but it will be noeg by a fetus, that's a ben tisha chai, that's found inside of the behema. Rabbi Yehuda omer einu noeg b'shlil, that it's not noeg by a shlil, Rabbi Yehuda says, v'chel bo muter. Not only that, the chelev of a shlil is also muter. V'ein ha-tabachim ne'emanim al gira nosha divra meir. Rameir says, you cannot trust the tabachim to say, the butchers to say, that they took out the gira nosha, because it's a whole hassle to remove the gira nosha. So they're not going to be trusted on something that's such a big hassle. The Chum say they're believed to say that they removed the Giranasha, and they're also believed to say that they removed any chela from the animal. There is a famous comment in the Krasi of Plesi, in Krasi Simon Samachay, where he writes that there used to be a Menaker Echad, Bal Toro Mumchel Ma'od, who was known as a Talmud Chacham and an expert, and he made a terrible mistake to suggest that it was a different Gid than the one we know of as the Gid Anasha that he had identified as the Gid Ha'amiti. And Ad Hayom, well, people are he was claiming that we and our forefathers have all been making a mistake. We've misidentified the Gid Anasha. And he was Holech Hushav B'chol Eretz Ashkenaz, the place he writes. He was running around everywhere, Umarish Habrios, until he came to me. It's Ad Shabal the Prague. And he's told me, and he told all the other, the Chachamim and the Gaonim, about his Shita, about what the Gid is. Vani Chakarti Ubadakti Esadavar, says the place he, I looked into it, Sir Bjorn Snipeshitz, I looked into it, and I found that the Gid that he was identifying is only found in male animals and not in female animals. And the place he writes, so I showed him, it says in Smag that Gid Anasha is no egg. So you see explicitly that his Gid can't be his Gid, and he was quieted down, and there was nothing else for him to say. He had no response. That's Beferish in the Smag that applies to Zecharim and the Kevos. So says the Chassam Sofer in the Tshuva, someone made a terrible mistake over here. When Sifrei Mitzvos write that a mitzvah is noheg b'zecharim u'b'nekevos, like the Sefer HaChinuch writes it all the time, it's noheg b'zecharim u'b'nekevos, it means that men and women are both obligated in the mitzvah. That's what it means, noheg b'zecharim u'b'nekevos. It's not a kind of animal, a male animal, a female animal. So for Rabbi Yonis Naibshitz to make a mistake like that is like, I mean, it's amaratzus. That how could Rabbi Yonis Naibshitz have made such a mistake like that? So Chassam Sofer has such a hard time figuring out. The Shovel in the Chassam Sofer says, Elamai, what you see is that Rabbi Yonis Naibshitz made a mistake. He made a terrible mistake. And the other guy's right. And therefore, we should be choshesh for the other guy's Gid. So Chassam says, no, you can't say that. Maybe it wasn't a mistake. And Chassam Sofer has a whole explanation of why what Rabbi Yonis Naibshitz says is in fact not a mistake. Now, they later found, and this is, I think we spoke one year in Shavuos, we did famous typos in Jewish history. So this is probably the best one. They later found Rabbi Yonis Naibshitz's copy of Crazy Uplacy, his own copy, in his own hand. And he edited out wherever there was a mistake. So instead of smag, as samach mem gimel, he had crossed out smag, underlined it, that's how they used to cross it out, put a line over it, and then, or over it, overlined it, and then on the side wrote samach hei nun. That's what it should say. What's samach hei nun? Sefer hanikur. Now in Sefer, it's not a Sefer HaMitzvos, it's about Nikur, it's about Nikur HaGid. In Sefer HaNikur, Itaka says that it's something that applies to both male animals and female animals. And that was Shosek, this person. Not because Smag, one of the Sefer HaMitzvos or the Sefer HaChinuch or anyone like that would say it's no, because that's what some suggest. Maybe it was the Sefer HaChinuch that he was referring to. But that doesn't solve anything, because the Sefer HaChinuch also, when he says Zecharim u'Nekevos, means men and women. So that's the typo that solved that mystery of Jewish history. Okay, says the Gemara, Muktashin Pshita, isn't it obvious that Gid Anasha applies by Muktashin? So says Gemara, Mishum Da'ak Shepakla Yisr Gidmine. What, just because you're Maktish an animal, now all of a sudden the Yisr of Gid Anasha just flies away? That doesn't make any sense. Obviously the Yisr of Gid Anasha applies to Muktashin. Says Gemara, V'chi Temus, so you're going to suggest answer number one. Yesh Begidin Menosin Tam, V'as Yisr Muktashin, V'chayela Yisr Gid. That the Chiddush is that since Gid Anasha has a Tam, you're assuming Yesh Begidin Menosin Tam, that the Yisr of Hegdish will be chal, even though it's already usher as a gid. Well, if that's what you're trying to tell me, Haim Muktashin Noheg Begid Mi Bayulei. It shouldn't be that Gid Anasha is Noheg on Muktashin. That's not a Chiddush. What you're trying to say is that the Chiddush is that the Yisr of Hegdish is Chal on Gid. But of course the Yisr of Gid is always there. The extra Chiddush is that it's also Asr Misham Hegdish. But then it should have phrased it that way. So Ella says Gemara, a second possible answer. Kasavar Ein Begidin B'Nosin Tam. We're working with the assumption that Gid Anasha is not Nosin Tam. Ubi Muktashin Isr Gid Ika Isr Muktashin Leka. It's telling us that there's no tam in the Gid, and the Isr Gid Anasha alone is no Ubi Muktashin, but there is no Isr of Hegdish on a Gid Anasha of Hegdish. Meaning the Isr of Gid Anasha stands in its place. It remains Asr as a Gid Anasha when you make it Hegdish, but it does not take on the additional Isr of Hegdish. That's what it means. That the Isr of Gidin is no Ubi Muktashin. The Chiddush is not that there is an Isr Isser of Gid, but that there's only an Isser of Gid, that there's no additional Isser of Mukdashin on top of the Isser of Gid. So says Mar, V'savar Tana didan ein begidin milsin tam, but are you sure that our Tana holds that ein begidin milsin tam, v'atnan yerach shen espashal b'gid anoshe im yesh b'milsin tam, harezu asura, that if you cook a gid anoshe in the thigh of the animal, then if it's nosin tam, it's going to be asura. And Rashi points out, yesh b'milsin tam, shira chacham b'shishim, kol nosin tam stam, that in general, nosin tam we measure by shishim, so if the gid is less than 1/60th of the yerach, then the rest of the thigh is mutter, but if it's more than 1/60th, then you have a problem because we assume that it is no same time throughout. So says the Gemara, Ella, third possibility. Hacha bivlados kachim askinan. Over here we're talking about vlados of kachim. Because sabar noeg b'shliel, and we're assuming that the gira nasha is noeg in the shliel, is noeg in a bentes chai that's found inside of the mother, which the Tanakama held in our Mishnah, that it's noeg b'shliel, whereas Rabbi Yehuda said it's not noeg b'shliel. So we're assuming it is noeg b'shliel. Because sabar vlados kachim b'mei iman hein kadoshim. And we're assuming that the Kedusha begins while the Vlados Kachim are still Bimei Iman, while they're still in the mother's womb. The Isser Gid, the Isser Mukdashin, Vahadei Adadi Ka'asi. And in that case, the Isser Gid and the Isser of Hegdish came simultaneously, because right when the animal is conceived, right when it started to develop, both the Isser Gid and the Isser of Hegdish came right away. Says Ramah, Mimas Mukmala B'Shliel, Vamid Diktani Sefer, Noeg B'Shliel, Nechal D'Reish Alav B'Shliel Askinan. How can you say that line in the Mishnah talking about a Shliel? Shliel is only introduced in the next line of the Mishnah. Hachi Kamar. We were talking about a shliel, and then we said, oh yeah, and by the way, this very issue of whether Gid is knowing b'shliel is subject to a machlokas Rabbi Dan the Rabbanan. So it sort of led right into the next line of the Mishnah. Where we pick up tomorrow, we're going to start asking, is that really simultaneous? Because Hegdish happens right at the beginning of the Yetzirah. The Gid develops at some later stage. So we're going to talk about that, Be'ezus Hashem, tomorrow.